For the first time, Atlanta has a police officer dedicated to handling cases of animal cruelty. That position was created in October by the city's police chief, Erica Shields. And the first cop to fill that post is Amy Seldner. She's a 22-year veteran of the force and joins me in the studio now. Hi.
Hi, Celeste.
So after 22 years dealing with regular police work, why did you want this job?
Well, I actually started doing animal cruelty crimes very early on in my career, and I would have officers contacting me once they found out that I was pursuing those particular types of crimes.
You were pursuing those by choice? Like, that's what you wanted to do?
Well, I've been a beat cop for many years, and so I was handling 911 calls, you know, the domestics, the stolen cars, the burglaries, all the usual 911 calls, but I was also... I guess I was in tune to the different animal cruelty issues in the different communities that I worked in. And so when something would come along, you know, I'd pursue it. I'd get the warrants. I'd identify the perpetrator if we could, get the animal out of the situation. And over time, I guess that people just kind of identified me with those particular crimes.
You became the animal cop.
Yes.
So is it particularly, is it relatively easy in Georgia and in Atlanta to get those warrants to pursue these cases?
It can be if you have an eyewitness that's willing to come forward, or you have forensic veterinary, you know, forensics behind the case.
That's tough, though.
Right. Because you have an actual victim that can't speak. So you have to speak for them.
Let me play you this comment from Cliff Flynn. He's a sociologist. He studies why people abuse animals. And I spoke with him a couple years ago about this just long amount of research that shows this link between animal cruelty and violent crime against people.
There's no doubt that those two things occur together. Which cases do we need to focus on that may lead to violence against people? These would be, for example, where the person used more torture as opposed to just harming the animal, violence that took place alone versus in the presence of others.
Is it useful for law enforcement to begin to sort of plumb this relationship between people who would harm animals might also be people who would harm other people?
Absolutely. There is a correlation, without a doubt. Since I've had this position, I've handled a domestic violence situation. So where the perpetrator had choked the animal in front of a 16-year-old child and then assaulted the woman, the owner of the dog. So right there, you've got a simple battery charge. You've got a cruelty to children because it happened in front of the child. And you also have a couple counts of animal cruelty. So those are not isolated events. Approximately 76% of all women that enter domestic violence shelters report abuse of their animals.
And it's interesting that you mention that. So let me play you another comment from Maya Gupta, who's executive director of the Animals and Society Institute. And she says there's this increasing awareness of what you're talking about, animal abuse and the ripple effect in these cases.
So, for example, in increased public attention recently to the lack of facilities for animals at domestic violence shelters and the fact that often victims of domestic violence are remaining in abusive situations because they can't bring their animals with them to safety.
So how does your new position help fix this, or does it?
No. What's wonderful about this is I can focus solely on those particular crimes. So I can follow it from the minute that victim calls in to identifying the perpetrator, to getting the statements or witness testimony, if we need to do photo lineups, whatever they need, if they need victim witness advocacy to help them for a restraining order. This particular woman that I was speaking of, she ended up with a restraining order and she had the animal included in it because he wanted the animal back, and we don't want that to happen while the case is going forward.
So you can get a restraining order that person can't be within a certain distance of the animal as well.
Absolutely.
That's interesting. So this sounds awful, but what is the most common type of animal cruelty in Atlanta? What is the case that's common for you?
Well, there's two types that you'll come across. As your individual, the male speaker said, you've got intentional and you've got neglect. So we see a tremendous amount of neglect where, you know, the animal's chained up outside, may or may not be starving, may or may not have fresh food or water, may or may not have shelter. Those kind of things are very, very common. The intentional ones are the ones where we're also going after, obviously, which are your shootings, your blunt force trauma, any kind of poisonings. We have, unfortunately, a problem with juveniles, and that's a precursor to future violence. So if we can stop them when they're younger or get them counseling or get them help, they may be less likely to go on and perpetrate crimes against humans in the future.
Do you have the resources at your disposal to be able to do that?
Yes. Been a phenomenal community in Atlanta. You've got rescue groups out there. You've got Fulton County Animal Services. You've got Carla Smith, the councilwoman, who spoke with Chief Shields and Chief Shields getting this together. We've got the courts. We've got the city courts. We've got the state courts. We've got a tremendous amount of support out there. We've got grassroots communities. There's an organization called the Wonder Dogs that's out there keeping kids out of the gangs and having them work by delivering hay and build dog houses and working with the kids.
Actually, let's hear from Grace Hamlin, the founder of Wonder Dogs. This organization's mission is to lift up disadvantaged kids in Atlanta by having them help with rescue animals.
But my ultimate goal is to help the kids find their voice by helping animals. So if you become the voice for the animal right now and advocate for the animal and advocate for the community, the ultimate goal is for them to eventually learn how to advocate for themselves, their community, and their future.
How well do people know about you and whether or not they can call the PD when there's animal issues? Because you'd assume that they either call the shelter or animal control, right?
Yes. Well, this position has only been going on for 2 months, but I've been attending the roll calls with the officers in the different zones and handing out flyers, brochures, telling them exactly, you know, what the unit is about so that they can feel free to reach out. In January, I'll start going to the NPU meetings in different communities.
NPU means?
The Neighborhood Planning Units, organizations, NPO, did I say that right?
Yeah,
so we'll be, as well as now, we have a system in place just recently this past week where when a animal cruelty comes in, that call will be directed towards me so that it's going to be going into the system to me, so I'll be able to handle it. We'll know that when it comes in, it's just not going to kind of be dispersed amongst, you know, investigators out there. They'll know that that's specifically going to be handled.
And how does that help? In other words, is the benefit in having it all in one particular clearinghouse so you get a record and a picture of what all these cases are? How does it help to have it all coming to you?
Well, a lot of times the investigators, it's not their fault. They just have never been trained. And I have attended a lot of training as far as illegal dog fighting, the domestic violence aspect of it with the animals. And so I'm able to... I know what I need to look for as far as evidence. I know, whereas the investigators, you know, they've been trained in a lot of different things that I wouldn't necessarily know how to do. So, and they were reaching out anyway, and I said, well, if I can help you with this, I will. So it benefits the city because now you have a caller where before it might be rerouted to animal control. And as I've said before, bless their hearts, they're doing a great job, but they're underfunded. They just... Anybody been to the shelter recently? You know what I mean?
They need help. Yeah.
They need help. And so they're doing all of Fulton County. So now you've got somebody in the city that's able to hone in on some of these crimes. And I work with them also. Like they'll let me know if they got something that is a little bit above that, you know, that they need assistance with.
How important is it for you to end up creating files on, I guess, repeat offenders or areas in which animals are an issue of either neglect or dogfighting? Does that, from a law enforcement perspective, just having that history become an asset?
Without a doubt. I keep files on every one of my cases. I've actually got 2 Rubbermaid totes at my own house from all the cases
that's
I've handled over the years.
That's 2 months, or that's all the years?
Yeah, that's in the last 2 months, though, I probably have about, there's probably about 12 to 13 cases going right now.
So, in 2 months?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
So, and that's just, that's with getting it out there. So it provides a continuous flow that somebody knows who to reach out to. and they know that they're going to be heard, at least, that it's not going to get lost in an inbox somewhere, that it's not going to get lost, you know, on a voicemail if they're trying to call something in. So I can actually go right to the victim, and I can get down, and we can get into the meat of it.
Do you see your job as primarily protecting animals or protecting people from animals?
I see it as a two-way street, because when you benefit people, you benefit animals. When you benefit the animals, you're benefiting the people. You're keeping people safe. So we obviously had a situation last January where two children in Southwest Atlanta were mauled and one was killed. We have a problem. We've obviously got a problem. If we've got animals running around loose and irresponsible owners, we can go after that. That these are areas that we can improve the lives of the elderly. We can improve the lives of children. We can improve the lives of the animals and the people involved, you know, victims of domestic violence. So I think that public safety is a huge issue. People want to feel safe. You know, they want to feel safe going to that bus stop. They want to feel safe, you know. In some parts of the city, you'll see women who are power walking, and they're walking with large sticks. That's not to protect themselves. That's to protect themselves from loose animals. So these are all, it's a multi-pronged approach to the topic of animal cruelty.
Do you have pets?
I do.
What kind of pets do you have?
I have four mixed breeds.
Four mixed breeds? Are they all rescue animals?
Yes.
And they're all different ages?
Yes. I'm trying to think what
they're all
range
dogs,
from.
I assume.
They range from about five to, I've got one that's going on 12.
Wow, that's kind of old.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good range of them. And so you're a dog person.
Yeah.
But you're there to protect the cats and the turtles.
Oh, yeah. I had a 15-year-old cat that just passed away in May.
Sorry.
So I did have one, and you know he's a trooper. He's living with all those dogs. So,
yeah, that's got to be a cat with a strong personality.
Yeah.
Amy Seldner is the senior patrol officer with Atlanta PD and the force's only officer dedicated solely to animal cruelty crimes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.